Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 214.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 214. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm your host as always. Thank you so much for being here and listening. I really don't have much for you guys today. I'm quite tired, honestly. Still kind of catching up on sleep from our launch of 3.0. Again, we are open. You can still access our content and all of our education. We will not be closing again. So definitely go check that out. If you have any questions at any time, please feel free to contact our support department. But thanks for being here. We're working on consistently creating and formulating new content ideas, new free educational ideas that we can put on the site, increase the site, update the site, update everything about the way we deliver structured and organized jazz education content to you. So people love the lessons here, so that's amazing. If you guys have any suggestions or feedback about anything, please let us know. I'm always open. I'm always trying to upgrade things, you know, anything that you think, you know, can make better, right? So just let us know. In this particular episode, Trent's going to be going over a really cool idea, and that's about creating restraints in order to boost your creativity. So when we play piano especially, like with the trumpet, everything, you have three buttons and you got your mouth. Now, I'm not trying to underplay the difficulty of the trumpet because it's extremely hard. But your mindset's a little different because you're not visually looking at anything at all, really, except music. Now, when we sit down to the piano, we're visually seeing 88 keys and lots of possibilities we can do. And instantly, that's very overwhelming. Just the thought of looking at a trumpet, it looks actually easy. Like the instrument itself, it's like, oh, there's three valves? That's it? What? I could do this? Three? You see what I'm saying? So the overwhelm process, the overwhelm feeling is very, very different for a piano. There's 88 notes. It's very long. We can play in the upper register, middle, lower, mid to low, mid to high. We can do two hands. We can do combinations. There's so many possibilities. So what do we have to do? Sometimes we need to break out of the box. Sometimes we need to set restraints, right? And by setting restraints, we're actually going to tap in to our creative output in ourselves, okay? When we have billions of options, we're actually not going to be able to be as creative as possible because we're not really forced to think that much, right? If I give you three choices, and I told you to give me the most amount of possibilities with these three notes, you'd really have to put your brain to work, wouldn't you? So that's exactly what Trent's going to help you with. He's going to talk about the process of setting restraints in order to boost your creativity and ultimately make amazing amounts of progress. So this is a fantastic episode. I've actually been using this exercise and technique for a long, long time, but Trent was able to give me some new nuggets, which was really nice. So if you guys have any questions, comments, obviously let us know. But with that being said, let's dive right in and enjoy.
What's up, guys? This is Trent with Jazz Piano School, and today we're going to be talking about setting restraints in your practice to create more creative opportunities in your improvisations. So I actually was a wrestler all growing up and through high school, and I've learned a lot about jazz piano through my athletic experience, specifically in this category. So in wrestling, what we would do in practice before we would go just free for all live, just going against one another, we would set up situations where the coach would say, okay, one guy, you're only allowed to do this. You're only allowed to do throws, or you're only allowed to do leg attacks. And the other guy is only allowed to do this. Go. And we would go through all these different situations, to develop our skill in those situations that if we were just left to our own, in our own practice, we probably wouldn't get in a lot of those positions. But he put us there, our coach put us there on purpose, so we would be forced to wrestle through and work out those positions in our practice time in live situations. In jazz piano, we can do the exact same thing by setting restraints for ourselves that force us to practice playing passages and lines and harmonies that we might not necessarily play if we were left to our own devices, yet we can find ourselves in when we're in a real life playing situation. And it can help you to break some muscle memory and some of these patterns that we're used to playing over and over again, and get some more creativity into our lines. So the three things we're going to talk about today are setting restraints in terms of areas on the keyboard that you're allowed to play within. So for example, we're going to be looking at an octave. We're also going to be looking at interval restraints, saying you're only allowed to play certain intervals. And then finally, we're going to look at substituting individual notes for other notes in our lines. So first, let's look at the range limitation, the range of an octave. So we're going to practice improvising only within one octave. So in this case, I'm playing over "There Will Never Be Another You" in the key of E flat. And for the first octave, I'm going to set between this E flat and this E flat. I'm only allowed to play in between here. Here's what that might sound like. So that was just within one octave, and there's a bunch of times in there where I just wanted to go, I wanted to go down to this note. I wanted to go, but I couldn't because I set that restraint. So I was forced to play within this octave. Now that might lead you to make some quote unquote mistakes, or where you don't necessarily love the sound of it. And that'll happen at first, but if you really stick with that restraint of that octave, you'll start finding things that sound really good to substitute for what you would usually do going outside of that range. Just for example, let's move this octave to between these two A flats right here. So I'm only allowed to play between these two A flats for the entire chorus. That's gonna be a lot different than what I just did, because I only now have one tonic E flat to choose from, and it's just going to be a totally different feeling. So here we go. So was kind of challenging for me. I found myself in some places that I didn't necessarily feel comfortable, but I did a few things there that I've never really done before, that I really liked, that I can go back to. But this isn't going to be a one-time thing. This is going to be you set these restraints and you play in them for, like, you know, 30 minutes to 45 minutes just in that octave, and really explore all the possibilities. It's helpful to do it slower too, so you can really feel it out. It's also helpful to do it fast, so you can see where you aren't necessarily fluent. Let me do that one a little slower so I can kind of come up with some ideas consciously instead of just right on the spot. So. Was a little slower. Still, there were some things that I played that I wasn't quite crazy about, but I was also playing a lot of things that I've never played before. And that really can only be done by either trying really hard or by setting these restraints for yourself where you don't give yourself any choice but to play these things that you're not necessarily familiar with. I would suggest you pick a couple octaves that are kind of far apart, like I just did. These are a fourth apart. Maybe also do like B. That would be nice if you set the B octaves as a limitation. But I mean, it depends on what key you're in, what the song is, and what the changes are. So just pick a couple different restraints. It doesn't have to be an octave. That's just a good place to start. It's a good clear restraint, so you're not going to really confuse yourself. But you can widen that out. You can do like a major tenth. You can do an octave and a half, whatever you want. Okay, so that's setting restraints in terms of an area on the keyboard that you can play in. Now we're going to do intervals. So the way I like to do this is starting off by only playing in steps. That can be half steps or whole steps. And then adding the intervals in one at a time. Because we want our lines to be mostly stepwise, mostly linear. And then the larger the leaps are, those tend to be the less frequent in our solos. So that's why we're going to build up from steps all the way up to octaves. So first here, I'm going to play only using half steps and whole steps. Did a third there. Whoops. Gets kind of hard. You want to do like I just keep wanting to go, but I can't because this is the third and I've said only half steps and whole steps, so that'll take some time to feel out, to get those any type of third or fourth or anything else that's in your muscle memory, and only play in steps. And then the next level is to add those thirds in. So now I'm gonna play with half steps, whole steps, and thirds. That could be major or minor. So thank you. I jumped too far. Into the next chorus, and then you would keep going, so on and so forth. You add next, you add in fourths, and then fifths, and then sixths, and then sevenths, and then octaves, adding in one interval at a time, and really consciously limiting yourself to those intervals. And when you don't play that, catch yourself and realize, okay, that was autopilot, that was not what I was trying to do, and come up with a different choice instead of like, if you're trying to only play thirds and you accidentally play a fourth, consciously decide, okay, this is where I played the fourth instead of the third, and here's how I could do it within the limitation that I've set for myself. That is a really great exercise that I think you're really going to get a lot out of. All right, so we've talked about limiting the area that you're allowed to play in. We've talked about limiting the interval you're allowed to play in. And now here's one that I'm calling substitution, but it's not substitution like you're used to. Normally, when we talk of substitution in terms of jazz piano, we're talking about chord substitutions, such as a tritone substitution. You can play, in E flat, instead of playing F minor, B flat 7, E flat major 7, we can play F minor and then E 7, because E is a tritone away from B flat. Here's what we're going to do differently. Instead of substituting an entire chord, we're just going to substitute one note. So anytime we go to play one note, we're going to substitute a specific note instead, and it's going to change the shape of our lines. So for this example, I'm going to do a tritone substitution, but just with one note. So anytime that I'm about to play an F, just out of muscle memory or just for whatever reason, I'm going to play a B instead. And I'm going to let that shape my lines in a new way that wouldn't happen otherwise. So I'm going to do it kind of slowly at first. Here we go. Ah, mess it up there. Right there, I wanted to go, but I'm going. Now, once you start doing that, you're going to be able to decide, okay, do I want to play the substituted note? Do I want to play the B instead of the F? Or do I just want to play something, nothing at all? Or do I want to play another note? Because you'll start to get a sense of when that B is going to sound good and when it's not. And then that's huge progress, because you're sorting out all these sounds in real time and going through your options and your decisions. And it's just great to do. I'm going to talk through it this time, because if I'm just playing, you don't know whether I was going to play that or whether I'm substituting it. So I'm going to talk through it this time. So I want to go, but instead I'm going to go. It's a really nice outside sound, like, that has really no, like, I'm not playing a outside chord there. I'm just substituting the note. Cool stuff. Here I want to go, but I'm going to go. want to go, but instead I'm going to go. And then I want to go, but I'm going to go. And then a natural resolution would be. So you can kind of see that process of you just. Anytime you're going to go hit that note, you substitute the other note a tritone away. And if you know it's not going to sound good, then you're really using your ear and you can start figuring out what you would like to substitute instead. Okay, so those are the three techniques that I want you to work with. And the goal is to kind of break up your muscle memory and get you used to these situations that you wouldn't try to put yourself in. But when you're actually in them, you realize there's a lot of cool possibilities there. So to summarize, set the restraint of, the area of the keyboard that you can play on, set the restraint of what intervals you're going to play with, and then pick notes to substitute for other notes to change the shape of your lines. And this is stuff we do in practice, not necessarily when actually playing. This is stuff when you really are wanting to think about what you're doing. But if you do this enough, this stuff will start to come out when you're not thinking and when you're just purely improvising. And that's always our goal when practicing this these improv techniques, is to really think about it in our practice time so that when we're just playing, we don't have to think about it. All right, have fun.